Netflix throwing in an unsuspecting plot twist to subscribers: a price hike. The streaming service announcing Thursday rates are going up for the first time in 2 years. Netflix needs the money to pay for all the Hollywood content it's gobbling up. The top-tier plan, which allows streaming on up to 4 HD screens, going to $13.99 from $11.99. The mid-range subscription for 2 streaming devices at a time now goes to $10.99 a month from $9.99. The basic plan remains at $7.99.
New European rules are pruning the ambitions of Italian winemakers. Italy's winemakers want to extend their businesses and take advantage of a strong export market. The winemakers want to plant more vines, but there are now limits on the area which can actually expand within the whole country. And according to rules which apply across the entire European Union, they can't expand by more than 1% a year.
Google announced its new smartphone and a slate of other hardware. The Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL are the new smartphones from Google. Another semi-surprise from Google was Clips. That's a GoPro-like portable camera that can take pictures hands-free. It's clear Google is trying to compete with Apple and Amazon more head-on. The question is, how much are they going to commit to marketing and really pushing this out and reaching a broader base of customers?
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's October 6, 2017. It's 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here for a Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Another business day is underway. Lots going on in this program today. How would you like Walmart to come in while you're not at home and stock your fridge? We'll be talking to a Washington Post reporter who's been writing about Walmart. Not only some of the things that they're trying, but also what they're doing this holiday season with workers as well. And in a minute, we'll bring in Paul Nolte for our regular Friday conversation about the economy. It is Jobs Friday, so that's tops on our list to talk to Paul about this morning. First, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Asian shares mostly higher today after the Standard & Poor's 500 index logged an eighth straight day of gains yesterday. Encouraging reports on the U.S. economy and corporate profits helped the index match its longest winning streak since July of 2013. Futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are down about 11. NASDAQ and S&P futures are about flat. In Asia this morning, markets are generally higher. Europe markets are now mixed as well, with the FTSE up about 18 points. The DAX is lower. And the CAC is lower this morning. Oil is trading at about $50.40 a barrel, which is down almost a percent this morning. Some stories that we're watching for you. An unexpected helping hand from creditors, landlords, and vendors is allowing more U.S. retailers to stay in business following bankruptcy with most of their stores and employees in the fold. The new approach marks a turning point for the beleaguered retail sector, which has seen at least 19 brick-and-mortar chains shut down since 2014. Until last year, most bankrupt retailers, including American Apparel, Sports Authority, and The Limited, were dismantled during their bankruptcy process. Investors and companies acquired their intellectual property and other assets but refused to take on their businesses as a going concern because they saw little value. Some of that is changing, though, as creditors, landlords, and vendors now see some more retail value coming from those companies. Speaking of retail, there's a story involving Sears this morning. Sears Holdings Corporation, again, borrowing from its owner and chief executive, Eddie Lambert, to the tune of $100 million. That troubled department store chain, hoping that money will keep things moving at Sears, which has been struggling all year long. And earlier this year said it didn't know if it would be able to remain a going concern for the year. Sears shares are up about a percent this morning. In pre-market trading. A couple of other stories. Ohio State University says all of its new undergraduate students will be getting an iPad next fall. University says it's part of a new collaboration with Apple, the tech giant, and Ohio State will create an iOS design laboratory for the university and help students learn coding skills and mobile app development. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin's travel on private planes has topped $800,000, but a report by the Treasury Department's Inspector General says the secretary did not violate any law in the 7 trips he took on government airplanes. Most often, Treasury secretaries travel by commercial flights. but Mnuchin has not. One of the reasons he says is that he needs communication enhancements in case he needs to speak with the president. It is Friday, and Paul Nolte is here this morning, as he is every Friday, to talk a little bit about the economy. Paul is a senior portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, good morning. Happy Friday. First and foremost on the list today, the jobs report. I know the consensus sort of varies depending on who you talk to. Perhaps the hurricanes impacted the jobs report in September?
It's going to impact it in a variety of ways. When we take a look at some of the estimates, we've got companies like J.P. Morgan and Bank of America around 100,000 in new jobs, and then you've got UBS up at around 125 to 150, and you've got a couple that are actually negative. So the dispersion in the estimates for new jobs is huge at this point. So we could see a print as high as 200,000. We could actually see a negative print. The second part of it is we've always talked about is wages. Wages are the big deal and really the engine that's going to make the economy go. And here we might actually see a big bump in wages, which intuitively doesn't make sense. But you've got a lot of employers that are looking for employees. Some of them have been displaced. We're paying a lot of overtime. To make things, to get the repairs done and kind of get back to what passes for normal. And so we could see a big jump in wages. But again, this is going to be probably one of maybe three, four one-off reports because of the impact of the hurricanes.
And so what do you expect a reaction would be if, let's say, it's at that low end? Should there be an investor reaction to that today?
I'm not so sure we're going to see a big reaction to the jobs report. I think that there's going to be a lot more looking at the numbers and going into a little bit more of the detail because it has that potential for being very impacted by the hurricanes. So I'm not so sure we're going to see a huge impact in the markets today, but it does bear watching. Again, over the next couple months to see when and how those numbers get back to normal. And then we can then moderate these numbers to smooth them out a little bit and see if we're still on trend or rolling over or picking up speed.
Paul, hang on with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Paul Nolte in just a minute. He's a portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management, and with us every Friday, we'll talk more about the markets and the economy coming up.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, investors have flown into Friday with new records for the major stock indexes. The Dow Jones closed up 114 points yesterday to 22,775. The NASDAQ picked up 51 points to 6,585. The Standard & Poor's 500 rose 14 points. Job losses created by Hurricanes Irma and Harvey stabilized last week, and applications for unemployment benefits fell by 12,000. The 4.4% jobless rate is near a 16-year low. Netflix is boosting its subscription prices for the first time in 2 years. Its most popular plan will rise by $1 to $10.99 a month. Basic Netflix streaming stays at $7.99. Question: should drunk people be allowed to use self-driving cars? An Australian regulatory panel says yes. The National Transport Commission sees little difference between an impaired person taking a cab and using an autonomous car as long as it remains in self-driving mode. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 522. We're on with Paul Nolte this morning of Kingsview in Chicago. Paul, the stock market yesterday, another record for, it's eight straight, I think, for the S&P 500. It was a pretty up day on the Dow as well. What's going on with the stock market?
Well, so far we haven't been down yet this quarter, and it's going to be looking to be a very good quarter if we keep this trend going, if you will. We're entering the better part of the year. October historically is the most volatile month. We've seen, obviously, the crashes of 87, 29, et cetera, but it's likely to be a volatile month. And then we enter the best part of the year, which is really November through April into May. And if we do see the economy pick up here, even with a little bit higher interest rates, we may actually see the market continue the trend that we've seen all year, which has been slow and steady and a gradual rise in equity prices. The market is still expensive in our view, but we're starting to see global pickup in economic activity. We're starting to see commodity prices pick up a little bit, and all of those are precursors, in our belief, precursors to a little bit better economic growth. So we can see the markets continue to trend a little bit higher, and I think that's some of what we're seeing, in addition to the fact that the markets are anticipating some legislation, some tax relief from Washington.
I know we've told people before that September usually is the worst month for the stock market, but I didn't go back over my notes. I'm sure you did. It didn't turn out that way this year, did it?
No, actually, it was one of the better Septembers in history, one of the top four or five. So, again, the market really has not been down in the last 12 months. So if you go back over the last every month in the last 12 months, the market has been up, and we haven't seen a string like that going back into the 90s. So it's been a very long time that we've seen a market that has just plotted higher here. And you know, as I mentioned before, the volatility index is at levels that we haven't seen since the mid-60s. So we're among the lowest ever for volatility. So there is a certain level of complacency, and we always get nervous when everybody is on the same side of the boat, because that's usually the wettest part of the boat, so you'd like to move to the other side. But right now, the markets continue to move higher, and we don't see any big reasons why we should shift aggressively the other way.
Just be careful if you stand up in the boat, Paul, and try to walk to the other side. I hear that can be kind of dangerous. You mentioned growth there. There's some revisions to that, and tell us what we might see in terms of the next GDP report if we keep on this track.
Well, the next GDP report right now, we're getting estimates from the Atlanta Fed and the New York Fed that we're going to be in the 2 to 2.5% range, and that's down a little bit from the 3 that we saw this last quarter. Our view is that 3 on a permanent basis, or on a regular basis, if you will, going to be very difficult to do because of productivity gains, people entering the workforce, et cetera, are not at the levels that would really warrant that. But I think we're still in that 2% range, which is where we've been over, you know, for this particular recovery. So we don't see that really deviating too terribly much. If we get some legislation from the Fed, we get taxes coming down, we might get a little bit of a bump. But we don't anticipate it's going to be a huge and permanent move to much, much higher growth.
What do you like here at the end of the week?
Oh, we're still, you know, again, still liking the stock market, still liking the large U.S. We've seen a shift in the last 3 weeks to small cap, again, anticipating some tax legislation. International has kind of cooled off here a little bit as the dollar has strengthened, and we're seeing a little bit of a pickup here in energy prices. Technology still our favorite and still number one as far as performance so far this year, and that continues to be the case. So, again, we did a little bit of rebalancing a few weeks ago coming into the end of the quarter, bought a little bit more bonds, took some profits off the table on the equity market. So I don't think there's, as I mentioned before, a lot of big changes that really need to be happening in portfolios. They bear watching, but I don't think we need to be doing anything just yet.
All right. Paul, good to chat with you, and have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you then. Thank you.
All right, Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management. He's a senior portfolio manager there, an SVP. You can find him and the rest of his team at kingsview.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of the program. How would you like somebody to deliver something you ordered to your home and maybe all the way into your home, perhaps even into your fridge? This might be happening soon. If not already, Walmart could be the person, the company behind this. Abba Batari has been writing about this for The Washington Post, a business reporter there with us this morning here on The Opening Bell. Good morning, Abba. Welcome to the show.
And good morning. Thanks for having me.
So I don't know how I feel about this. Somebody coming into my house and actually stocking my fridge. What's going on here?
Yeah, so, you know, as we've become so obsessed, really, with convenience and the ease that technology offers us, so many of us, especially in urban areas, are ordering our groceries online. Walmart is taking it to the next level. They're partnering with a smart home technology company so that there would be sort of a passcode, a one-time passcode that you could give the delivery workers who would be allowed access into your home, and then there would be cameras inside your home so you could watch the delivery as it happens in real time, and you could actually watch them sort of stocking your fridge, stocking your freezer, putting the dry goods in the pantry, and then helping their way out the door. So, yeah, it's really an interesting new step here.
Because the people, I guess I'm not one of the people that does order groceries online, but I suppose what I've been hearing is the biggest frustration is to arrange that time when you're there so that you can meet the grocery person and make sure nothing's sitting on your front steps.
Exactly. It's usually a 1 or 2 hour window. And then, you know, depending on what kind of building you live in, you might have to lug all those groceries up the stairs and then sort of unload them. So this is one way of making that process even easier.
You know, Walmart, and I guess, is it Walmart versus Amazon? Is that who we're going to see when all this comes out in the wash of fighting each other for
this
business?
Yes, absolutely. Amazon is reported to be quietly working on some smart home technology of its own. So we'll see how this all plays out. And what's interesting is after I wrote this story, I heard from a lot of readers saying, you know, everything old is new again, because I remember decades ago, you know, this shop owner in our town would just come in and, like, you know, replenish our fridge with eggs or milk or whatever it was. And so it's kind of an interesting concept where they're using technology to do something that people have used in the past in some cases.
Well, what does the field look like here? I mean, obviously, everybody, when they think of this kind of delivery stuff, they're starting more and more to think of Amazon. It's almost synonymous with that. What kind of challenge does Walmart have to try to match that?
Absolutely. Amazon is still the most used website in the country, and a lot of people begin their searches not on Google or another search engine, but on Amazon. So that's what Walmart is up against, and they've been investing heavily in trying to compete. They bought Jet.com for billions of dollars. They've really sort of tried to corner the market there, and they're expanding into other sort of startup companies online like ModCloth, Bonobos, really sort of niche companies that would target a different audience than the typical Walmart shopper.
And in New York City, they've just bought the company Parcel, which I guess they're going to start testing local deliveries with that service. Does that sort of indicate that they're getting ready to do something more nationally?
You know, I think they're experimenting with a lot of things. And nationally, they have been trying in various ways to sort of find the right balance between delivery and store pickup, online shopping, the traditional shopper. I mean, what they have that's an advantage that Amazon doesn't have is thousands of stores across the country. And so they're able to use those stores as like mini warehouses to actually bring the groceries to you perhaps more quickly than Amazon could.
Walmart has also done something differently this year with holiday hiring. They're actually giving their current employees more hours as opposed to hiring more, bucking the trend of some other retailers. What are they thinking in this area?
Exactly. Well, this is an interesting, unprecedented announcement that they've made. Usually, a few years ago, they would hire 60,000 people, temp workers, every season. And this year, they're saying they're not going to do that. Instead, they're going to give their workers first dibs at these hours. So they have 1 million hourly workers, and talking to many of them in the labor groups that represent them, their biggest complaint has long been that they don't get as many hours as they would like. They'd like to be full-time, but they're only getting maybe 18, 19, 20 hours. And so they're hopeful that this could be an opportunity to get more hours around the holidays.
Do you get the sense that at Walmart, and I know you cover a lot of the other retailers as well, do you get the sense that this is going to be a shopper's bargain season for the holidays, that there are going to be all kinds of sales and massive competition among the stores?
You know, it's definitely going to be a very cutthroat season. I mean, we have Toys R Us that just filed for bankruptcy. This is going to be critical for them. And a lot of other retailers are sort of treading water. So it'll be interesting how this pans out. At the same time, you know, I think the last few years we haven't seen very dramatic discounts because retailers have just been marking down prices all year round. You know, you see that 40% off, 50% off all the time, and it's become so commonplace that retailers can't really offer a whole lot more than that leading up to the holidays.
Yeah, I saw one report too, and I think it may be in one of your stories where the retailers are doing less sort of on that Black Friday day, and they're planning for more deeper sales every day through the holiday season. That would be a new trend too, wouldn't it?
Exactly, exactly. They're finding that, you know, especially with online shopping again, people aren't going to camp out overnight to get into the store at 5 a.m. on Black Friday. And so they're sort of adjusting their strategy here. People are more inclined to maybe just shop piecemeal here and there throughout the holiday season and make a lot of online purchases on their phones, just sort of spread it out versus having it concentrated into one like frenzied shopping holiday.
So if you were to create a chart of the who's racing in this field, would it be Amazon, Walmart, and Target in third, or who would be in third place?
Yeah, I think among the big ones, Target is ramping up. We're seeing them sort of move into the space as well. They've lowered their shipping cost. I mean, the threshold for free shipping on their website. They've made investments. And so, yeah, I think that's the other big contender here.
Well, Abba, it's very good chatting with you this morning, and we look forward to see how this is going to play out. And please come back and be with us again on the opening bell.
All right. Thank you so much.
Abba Batarai is a business reporter at The Washington Post. She writes about all kinds of things, retail, and we're going to link out to some of her recent stories this morning on our Twitter page at WGN Radio on Twitter.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:50. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures off about 10 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are flat. Global markets generally mixed this morning. Gold and silver are mixed. Gold is lower and silver is a little bit higher. Crude oil, we got at $50.50 a barrel this morning. Some other stories we're watching for you. Another day of meetings for President Trump at the White House. ABC's Karen Travers is there.
President Trump sits down with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin today for a closed-door meeting in the Oval Office. This a day after an internal review at Treasury concluded that Mnuchin didn't break any laws by taking 7 trips on government jets during his short tenure in the cabinet. But a report by the Treasury Department's Inspector General says these expensive trips, which have cost taxpayers over $800,000, don't meet the standards for justification set out in guidelines the Trump administration has said it would follow. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
And there's another story involving private travel or military travel by some of the cabinet. Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao has apparently used government planes instead of cheaper commercial airline flights 7 times in the past 8 months. Washington Post says this report that the at least some of the planes, fleet of planes, are operated by the Labor or the Transportation Department, specifically the FAA. The Post reports that Chao used government planes to fly to Paris for an air show and to Sardinia for an international conference. Other destinations include cities within an hour's flight. That is a commercial flight from Washington. It's time to check in on agriculture and commodities this morning. Orion Samuelson's with us. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you. It's a busy week in the dairy industry because World Dairy Expo continues through tomorrow evening at about 6 o'clock, Madison, Wisconsin. And today they get into some of the bigger breed shows and the bigger breed auctions. And so far, the count that I've heard, Steve, is about 2,340 of the world's finest dairy cows are in Madison at World Dairy Expo, and about 884 commercial exhibitors from around the world have brought their products there to be seen by the dairy farmers who are also there from around the world. I had an interesting day Wednesday visiting with a lot of people. Some of them I couldn't because I couldn't understand the language because they're there from all over the world.
Yeah, I saw some photographs of some folks who were here. I think a few of them from Japan and also from China. They specifically come to the Midwest to meet with dairy farmers here. What is it that they're teaching these people from other places in the world, Orion?
Well, they're teaching them about nutrition because nutrition has changed a great deal, and they're also teaching them about one of the interesting things. I think it was about 17 years ago I was there, and for the first time saw a robotic milker. And a lot of people looked at that and said, that'll never work because it's too expensive and no cow will walk in and place itself in the right position for the robotic milker to attach the machine and then will stand there and be milked. And when the milk is gone, they'll walk away. Well, we were all wrong because the labor challenge that dairy farmers are having, they are turning more and more to the robotic milker, which is quite a machine. It really is, sir.
You mentioned the labor challenge. I saw another report this week of some places in the country where harvest is underway that labor shortages are impacting the harvest. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the harvest of corn and soybeans and the grains will go ahead, but the concern is now that we're moving into the fall and winter season, about 90% of our fresh produce, lettuce particularly, comes from the Imperial Valley in California, bordering on Arizona and on Mexico. And they are going to be really challenged by the lack of a decision in Washington on how we're going to fix the labor situation with migrant labor, because every morning in Yuma, Arizona, during the harvest season for produce, 30,000 workers come across the border from Mexico, spend the day working in the fields, and then at night go back across the border and go home. And that's been going on for decades. And the concern is that if we don't finally come up with immigration laws that are easier to make that happen, a lot of stuff will rot in the field. So far, we haven't hit that point, but I think we're beginning to get close.
What can we expect tomorrow on the program?
Well, tomorrow on the program, two things. We'll be talking to several people from World Dairy Expo, and we'll share that. And then, of course, a week ago today, I was on a cattle ranch in Arizona for an annual event, and we'll be talking to the Director of Agriculture for the state of Arizona. We'll be talking to cattlemen, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. So it'll be a busy show tomorrow.
All right. We'll be listening, Orion Samuelson. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, the morning show with Orion Samuelson and Max Armstrong tomorrow morning at 5 right here on 720 WGN. Now, the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Friday, October 6th. The September jobs report will be released this morning, expected to show a sharp drop in hiring with August because of Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. Also today, the Commerce Department reports on wholesale trade inventories for August, and the Federal Reserve releases its August report on consumer borrowing. It has been 90 years of talking movies. The jazz singer was released 90 years ago today, the first movie to sync the moving image with sound. The Nobel Prize has been announced today, and there are a couple of other meetings on Capitol Hill today involving not only the FEMA response to the hurricane in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, but also with budget and taxes on Capitol Hill today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Friday, October 6th.